If you don't want to go through keeping pars, you could keep a model and say that the 6 furlong at Hollywood tends to run third fractions, which it does. And your top 2/3 fractions would be a good bet in this race. There's a number of ways to get at it. These are very flexible tools. But what I want to impress on you is something that, to tell you the honest truth, I know it surprised both of us, me more than Tom probably, because he developed them and he had a lot of faith. But I looked at them and thought, well, you know, they might be as good as PBS numbers. You know, a month later, I was making my living with them. I came over here to Las Vegas, and we had the manuscript of the book, and I said, hey, I'm going to put my name on the front of this thing. I'm going to use them. And I've never gone back. They are really effective, and once you get into the pattern of using them, they can win you a lot of money. Now, the other question that I've been asked a lot is the embarrassing one. Which one is best? Which program is best? And there's no good answer to that one either, because there is no best program here. Please don't think that we're up here saying, you know, we do a little gentle ribbing about phase 3 and phase 1 and thermation and energy and that sort of thing. The bottom line truth is, if you feed the same pace lines and same contenders into any of these programs, most of them time, you'll get the same horses. You have to find the one that appeals to you, that sings to you. The one that you look at and you say, ah, where have you been all my life? I did that with these simple numbers. Tom Brohammer did it with phase 3. Jimmy and Howard really blossomed when he finally got the energy concepts into a computer and could see those numbers coming out. And each of these people is an artist with their chosen weapon. And so one of the real purposes of these seminars is to expose you to a variety of handicapping techniques and handicapping personalities. Tom Brohammer did something this afternoon that I will never be able to do. We were talking about a horse. I sort of vaguely remembered the name of the horse. He not only remembered the name of the horse and who trained it, he remembered how fast it can run. I can't do that. But I can punch these numbers. Maybe I'm a little too simple-minded, but it works. And let's face it, remember we talked about setting goals? You've all written down your goals for me, right? Yeah, there's going to be a test tomorrow. Be careful now. Did anyone have as their goal, I want to make so much money at the racetrack, but I must do it using such and such a program? No. You know, do you really care which one? This is all the Sarton methodology. 80% of our work is done before we click on the machines, no matter what program we use. You know, Doc is behind all of this stuff. So pick the one that sings to you. The one that makes crickets go in your head. When you see it on the screen. I like the, hey, it worked for Buddy Holly. Why not for us? Yeah.
Yeah, but he's dead.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. We're going to stay the hell out of little airplanes. You get two guys this size in a little airplane, you're in big trouble. Yeah. So that's really what I wanted to bring to this little session was the fact that we're just exposing you to a handicapping methodology. You may look at this and say, no, I want the absolute precision of Tom Brohammer and his phase 3 numbers. I want to know where everyone is at each moment in the track. I want to see precise, real precision. I want to make those gorgeous variants. Or, on the other hand, you may say, eh, come on, I just want to dump them in the machine and see who finishes first. It's as much a matter of personality and mindset as it is anything else. So if you find this program appealing, great. If you find it a little too simple, I will recommend it to you highly, as does Howard.
Can everybody see how this could... The question being, can Billy Ufarico be close enough to second call and go on to win the race? That's the biggest question. But you should be able to see this through your thermation readouts. And that's what you'd be looking to confirm. You're not looking to unlock the mystery. I mean, it's pretty obvious with the 93, 94, and another 93. We've got three horses that are real close together at the second call.
Now, I have a question.
Yes.
I've been using your program for a while, and I have a real problem with track-to-track adjustments. Usually, for your best time, my example, I was at Oakland for the first year of the main sports shipping in from Turfway. No, I'm sorry, wasn't Turfway. It was Summit down at El Paso. And if you look for your best time, the range of differences between the 3-year best times for 5.5, 6, 6.5, the race was going 6, but the difference in 3-year best times was like 5 points difference there.
Yeah, you're going to find that everywhere. The question is that many times within a structure, say the sprints, the 3-year best times from track to track will vary by distance. An example that I can actually do right out of my head is Santa Anita and Hollywood Park. The difference at 6 is 4/5. The difference at 6.5 is 2/5. The difference at 7 is 1/5. Therefore, what's the sprint adjustment? What we usually do is smooth them out. There's some reasons for this. Records get out of whack. The 6 at Santa Anita was set at a time when the track got away from the maintenance crew. The maintenance guy was fired a couple weeks later. They plowed the track up, dumped a lot of sand on it, big scandal. Okay, you don't need to know any of that stuff. You just know that, you need to know that that record's a little fast. Long Acres, where we were last weekend, they run one big race a year. Their big race, Group 3 race, is the Long Acres Mile. Guess which record of the routes is out of whack? The mile. The mile. It's much, much faster than the other two. It's something you're going to have to master. The 3-year best is a starting point, a good starting point, but it's not the ending point. And basically, what you want to do is take a look at, say, a horse coming in from Sunland. Let's say it's a 5-point swing there. Use the 5. See how it works. Then look at your results chart and see, did it place that horse where you wanted it? In other words, if you think a horse is going to run 6th and he runs 10th, you failed. If he runs 4th, you failed. You have
to... All right, I want to ask you one question. One quick question. How many class levels difference is there between Sunland and Oaklawn Park?
There's 7.
Okay. How many fifths of a second difference is there between the 6 furlong? This is a trick question because I just looked it up. How many fifths of a second difference is there between the 6 furlong record at Sunland? And if you can recall what that record is, give it to me. Or it just, you can't. It's a 109-1. What's the record at Oaklawn Park? Do you know what that is? 107-4. How many fifths of a second difference is there between a 109-1 and 107-4? 7/5. So when a horse ships from Sunland to Oaklawn Park, he gets no track-to-track adjustment because the difference in the slowness of the Sunland track is because it was set by slow horses that are basically 7/5 of a second inferior to those that have set the record at Oaklawn Park. There's no track-to-track adjustment. That's probably why you're having trouble. If you're just looking at track speed, that's one thing. But you have to incorporate in the track-to-track adjustment track class. And that's where it swings it.
Yeah, and let's say that you try that 0 and it doesn't work. Well, then you got to tinker it. We talk in the book about the fact the speed adjustment between Turf Paradise and Santa Anita's, we wound up going to 9 because it started to work at 9. If you're just there for a weekend, consider yourself lucky to break even. I don't care what program you're using. It's tough. If you want to go in, play a weekend, cold like that, you're probably not using the proper tool. You probably ought to be talking to the Thermation people, because our program demands a little bit more of you in record keeping and in thinking and getting these things down. Now, the folks that I know on the East Coast that see 3 and 4 shippers in every race who are willing to do this work love this program. The more shippers, the better. The first week of a track, great. There's a fella here who is playing the first meet at a track ever. No speed ratings, no records, no nothing. He was, yeah, he's sitting right over
here. Oh, he's over here. He's in the back.
Oh.
He's got his hand up.
There he is.
Arapahoe Downs. You know what class level that is?
Whoa, bottom low.
It's a low-level class, but guess what? The horses still run. They just run a little slower.
Yeah. You have to find the appropriate tool for the guy who wants to blow into town, not do any work. I mean, I'll answer your question on how I do it. When I got into town, I'd have 5 days of racing for him sitting there in front of me. I'd sit down, and I'd work him. We had to do that in Seattle. And we tested our theories with real money. Because neither of us know that how in the hell Seattle runs. It's just one of those things. If you're not willing to do that kind of work and figure out in advance what's going to work for you and what isn't going to work for you, then you probably are not using an appropriate tool. Not a bad tool, not a good tool. It's just not appropriate for your particular style of handicapping. And let's face it, we're not all full-time, and we don't all have the dedication and time that it takes to sit down and do that. The Thermation program is really written for people like you, because that's how Doc and Jimmy handicap. You think they keep records? Give me a break. Blow on to Vegas, and 3 days later, the race book manager standing over them, making a little harumph noises, and asking them to kindly take their business elsewhere. And Jimmy doesn't even know what track he's playing half the time. Boy, I'm killing them an aqueduct. Jimmy, it's Belmont. Oh, I'm killing them a Belmont. He's happy, and he's making great money at it. So, again, find something that's appropriate to your way of going.
I want to address that. This brings up a good point. You say that you are going to take a vacation, you're going to track that you don't know anything about, you don't have any racing forms, and you just get into town on Friday night, and you're going to the races on Saturday morning. So you go out and you buy a local racing form. Here's what I would do to give myself at least a notion as to what's going to happen on the next day. In the past performances are horses that have run at this track, hopefully, and hopefully have won. The first thing I would do is I would calculate their total pace ratings off that running line, and I would have some sort of a notion as to what kind of early-late relationship you need at the various distances. Then in this gentleman's case, if I saw a horse from Sunland, and I didn't know anything about Sunland, that had run, that had come to Oaklawn Park and run, I would calculate the Sunland line, his good line, and then just calculate whatever he did if he had done it in the past at Oaklawn Park. And that could be my track-to-track adjustment. Now, you can do all of this stuff, and the reason that when Howard gave me this writing assignment, he said, make it so they don't have to have a computer program. Make it so they don't have to keep records if they don't want to. Make it for the recreational player who wants to take virtually nothing to the track to have a fighting shot of winning some races and hopefully making some money. And this is why Total Pace is really kind of unique, because you can work with just a racing form and a calculator. I mean, you can use the information in the form to create these things. It's a bit of a job, but it's a way of solving a problem that there's no other solution to, because you don't have the information. Now, it's really slick. I can look this stuff up. I got class charts. I got track records for every horse in the United States and blah, blah, blah. But in the beginning, I didn't. All I had was a racing form. That's what I worked from. And then, after the Saturday races were run and I got the results, matter of fact, I wouldn't even wait for the results. As they were putting the fractional times either on the totalizator board or on the radio or on the television screen, I write them down. And I still do this, at least for the first 5 races of the day when I'm watching a race, because what's there to do when, if you know you're racing, when you're watching the race, you know what's going to happen. You know, you don't have to get all worked up. You can sit there and take some notes while you're waiting to cash your win tickets. Write down the second call time. You can judge about where your horse or the winning horse is at the second call. Write that down. You can write down the final time, and you can take out your handheld calculator and or your little sharp computer and you calculate its total pace rating. You get 78, you ran a 177.5, bang, you're on bingo. If it's, you know, like 10 points different, something's wrong. You better keep your money in your pocket for now until you've solved the problem. So, I mean, you can. This is a tremendous check and balance system. It's unbelievable for that. If you're wrong, you know right away. It's not like you're 3 weeks into this program before you find out you're wrong. Say, gosh, I gave him a 178 and he ran a 165. I did this recently. Guess what? Instead of, remember that race at Golden Gate? Instead of adding, I couldn't figure out why I was off by 20 points. Instead of, right, I wrote the book, you know, take me out of town and turn me loose on a strange, I won the race. That's what's even weirder. I won the race. And what I did was, instead of adding a track to track, I subtracted. What that does, folks, is it doubles the adjustment. Instead of going from like a plus five, I went to a minus five. Plus five and minus five on a number line, there's 10 points difference. So it's a 10-point swing. So if you do it, you find out in a hurry you did it wrong. That's...
Yeah. Okay, we had a question over here. All right. There was one in the back I saw earlier. Yes. Stand up and talk loud.
No.
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something about the mutuals.
240 all over the country. Come on.
You know, I have a theory about the impact of the mutuals. Let's take this scenario, and this is how we're going to impact the mutuals. All of us in this room are going to be playing the same race on the same day with exactly the same tools and skills and insight into the race, and we're all going to bet the same horse. I don't think so. Dick oftentimes comes up with horses that he considers to be a standout based on his perspective and bets them very strongly. I oftentimes find horses that have a tenth of a point advantage, and I just figure they're outstanding, and Dick wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. And I bet those horses strongly. No, they won't impact the mutuals. You could put the winner's name on the totalizator board before the race was run, and they would still bet on the other 11 horses because somebody's going to take the opportunity to say this horse is going to fall down and break its leg. Trust me, it will not impact the mutuals. It might for one race. Seriously, it could for like a big race or something like that, but no. Having the buyer numbers were quite good. 15 years ago, they had buyer numbers? Or no, I guess they didn't publish them then, but he did.
No, he did his own.
He did his own.
He told you how to do his...
He told everybody how to do them, yeah. And that supposedly impacted the mutuals. But the buyer numbers are printed, and they're quite... If you know how to use them, they're pretty good. But the problem is that most people don't know how to use them. And they're not... It's not 63 is okay, and 64 is... one better. It's a lot different than what we're used to looking at.
I'll tell you, one of the ways that things impact the mutuals is not that they impact the handicappers. They are taken up by the people who influence the handicappers, the public handicappers, the newspaper guys. And they all went for, oh, there's little things flying around in here, tiny spiders, goodbye, darling. These people accepted speed handicapping in a big way, and the guys making the morning lines and all this. One of the big advantages we have is that the average pro looking at our numbers says, come on, that can't work, and dismisses them out of hand. And please don't think that's not a big advantage. They are not simplistic, but simple. They really are easy to do. They're rough and ready, fifth of a second equals a point, and all the mathematicians want to crawl out of the woodwork and prove to us that a fifth of a second is not the same as a length. And we know that. Come on, we were working with programs that take things out to 16 decimal points. Believe me, we understand, but the bottom line is this works. It's not a perfect number, but what you would have to say about it is that it's a good enough number. And let's put it into action and do a race.
Yeah, let's do a race live because we've got these papers.
Yeah, the one that was stuffed, we got it a little late.
It looks like this. It's a loose leaf inside your manual.
Your big manual. And
this race was actually run this year, very recently.
Yeah, this is a couple, 3 days ago. If we can have the lights down, I'll peck along here on this, and Tom will provide commentary.
Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to show the IBM version of the Total Pace program, and it has some nice features that we like to demonstrate that are fun. First of all, your opening screen, it gives you the host track. The reason you want to enter that is so that the computer knows where this race is being run, so if you can automatically make a track-to-track adjustment by hitting a certain key, it knows what track it's adjusting to. Also, today's distance is important because it has to know what distance it's adjusting to. Okay. We might as well just go ahead and put everybody in because there's not many horses and we can get something out of everybody. Stalboy is our first contender. Or he's not really a contender, sort of, but he's our first horse anyway.
I did this on purpose. One of the minor advantages of this program, because I just put in the first call instead of the second, is that when you make a mistake like this, let me show you how you fix it. Hello.
You just back up, just like a car. You put it in reverse, back it up with little arrow keys that go back and forth. So you can even not know how to type or do anything with a computer, and you don't have to loop through the whole sequence to correct mistakes. And with this thing, you can also hit the escape key at any time, and what it'll do is it'll just cancel out all of that if you're, you know, typing completely wrong.
The last two over there, I'm just entering second call times and beaten lengths.
Let me go across here. Second call beaten lengths, 2 CBL. Final call beaten lengths, FCBL. TV is track variant, not television. Yeah. And the last one is the track to track.
In this case, of course, it's
0. It's 0. But we're going to get to the track to track, and we'll discuss that a little bit at length after we get putting this race up. Now, on this side of the screen are all the horses that you have entered and accepted their pace lines. On the right side of the screen is the horse that you're currently working on, and you can put all 10 pace lines in if you really want to. When I started total pace, I calculated 5 to 6 lines for every horse in every race until my eyes fell out of my head. Because every chance I saw of a track-to-track adjustment, I calculated those lines, even if the horse was a non-contender, just to make sure I could get this stuff straight. Okay, one of the advantages of using this program is that it has a track-to-track conversion. The first line says host track 3-year best time. That would be Hollywood Park's 3-year best time for a mile and a 16th, which happens to be 1:40:01. Now, the pace track, which is the track the horse, the pace line that you're using, 3-year best time. But what happens if you don't know what that is? Say we're just moved into Oaklawn Park, and we don't know anything about Oaklawn Park, and we don't know anything about Sunland. We have a way of calculating it for you. What you do is you enter the final time, how many beaten lengths, and the pace line speed rating. And you can do this manually, which you can also describe. I think you must have hit a wrong key.
Something wrong, but let's do it again.
Yeah.
Final time.
1:42:04, or 3, or whatever it is.
Three.
Speed rating, not track variant.
Okay,
now, that gives you the what a 100 is at the pace line track that you're looking at. Now, if there's a track-to-track class adjustment, and in the Pace Makes the Race book, there's a class chart, which is not perfect, but it certainly is functional. And in this case, there is no track-to-track adjustment, so the final adjustment is a +2. Pardon me? Yeah, this is just moving from Santa Anita to Hollywood Park. 2 tracks on the same level, whatever. Okay, so we can compare those 2 pace lines. I can't see what they are.
Well,
okay, Stalboy, a minimum early pace rating for a mile and an eighth, or mile and 16th race, is 85. So his early is fine. What the heck happened to his final fraction in his last race? I mean, the race before that was a real monster. Anybody care to take a stab at that? Huh? He died, yeah. What happened, I'm not really sure, to be honest with you, but he did not get the lead in the last race, and he was, in my opinion, way overmatched. Dick and I played that last race with Salvoy in it, and I played the horse called Ravenwood that won it. But Salvoy was really troublesome because he had a monstrous large total pace rating. But he has that one flaw in his character. If he doesn't get the lead, he doesn't want to play anymore, and he just backs up. So that's why we got rid of him.
Don't get in the habit of being too forgiving. This is really a dramatic difference there. That horse lost, what, 16 points, 16 lengths, if you want to think of it that way, in the final fraction. And there's... Yes, he went from claiming to allowance, although he's back in allowance today. Yeah, maybe he did this, maybe he did that, maybe he bled, look and see if he's on Lasix for the first time, do all that stuff. But you have to predict a 16-point improvement just to get back to where he was. That's just a dreadful race.
Yeah.
And don't be too quick to forgive it.
One other thing that's important to notice, that he lost that ground against a slower pace than he had run in his previous race. And my contention with this horse when I threw him out was that 72, I mean, it's really showing he really had to blunt his form, you know.
Yeah, I just think he has not been on the track since that race, and I just think he's broken. He boo-booed himself, and that's the end of it.
It's kind of interesting to note when this horse was 3-1 this day.
Well, because a lot of
horse and jockey,
he
top trainer and top jockey. That'll get you 3-1 on a horse that can't even hardly walk. And that's it. Kent DeSormo is our top jockey right now out there at Hollywood, and Bob Hess is the hot new trainer, and he's very good. He's very talented. So
let's pick one.
We picked I use the top line. I mean, I'm not going to forgive that line.
But you can pick either one. Keen program. I just enjoy using this program a lot. But we're going to put him over there and look at a real horse now.
All right. Next horse is also a non-horse called Keen Line. We can go ahead and put that line in because we can demonstrate the track-to-track adjustment again. But this horse has been off. He's been losing badly at $20,000. Today's class level is higher. It's an allowance company, and I wouldn't bet my money on him. So his total pace rating off his last line I would use is not going to be that good anyway.
Yeah, and yet at the same time, it's not completely dreadful.
No, it's not. It's not. But basically, you need an 85-85 to win a minimum level at Hollywood Park, and he, guess what, he's 84.2, and I know that's not much, but he's not even demonstrating minimum requirements, and he's going against allowance horses. That's a real negative.
If I were handicapping this race, I would have probably skipped Stab, but I would keep Keen around. He's only the second horse we looked at,
right.
But let's keep him around and see how he stacks up later on.
Right, yeah. Another thing you can do with this program, of course, is you can scratch horses out. So I dump the whole field in, if like Dick says. I mean, I'm just saying mentally, I wouldn't bet any money on this guy because I know what I'm doing. But if I were you, leave him around. He's close. He's close. Next horse. Excuse me? What? On this program, it'll take 12. Yeah. No, it'll take 12 horses. Okay, Capote, I don't know what this horse's name is, Maginet or something, Magique. Okay, this is a Golden Gate horse, and so again, we're going to have to calculate, because I happen to know what it is, but we're going to calculate it anyway just to demonstrate. The pace 3-year best time, we don't know what that is, so we're going to hit Alt F4. Or F4, excuse me. And, yeah. Just visually, you see a 142 and 1 for a mile and 16. That's a pretty fast race, right? But this is a much faster track, surface speed-wise, than Hollywood Park. 88. Okay, you see the difference in the track? It's substantial. 139-2 is a record of a Golden Gate.
And by the way, if you're looking at a record for records that are out of whack, this is one of them.
Yeah.
The track really probably is not quite that fast, but for our purposes, we'll give them a break.
Track class adjustment is a -2 because he's moving from a lower level class to a better class track. So he gets a -6 adjustment, which is distributed 60% of that adjustment goes on as early and 40% of it goes on as late. And the computer asks if it's okay, and you hit enter. Okay, he's a 91.7838. He's deficient final fraction, right? All right. This is one time, and here's the way I've solved this in my own mind. He is deficient in final fraction. However, he's also in excess early by 6.7 points. And his total pace rating is certainly more than adequate. So we're certainly going to accept it if you want to go back and do another line, but there aren't any good ones. So
he's all sprints behind him. He's off a layoff. He sure came off that layoff well.
Yeah, it was. I don't understand.
Bucked his bones or whatever it is, little horse.
This was his second race after a layoff. So when I looked at this race originally, I thought he's probably going to run as well as he did last time and maybe even better. The underscoring was mine for the manual so that everybody could see which pace line I used. Okay, hot date. Dick, why don't we go ahead and put that top line in, because that's a Golden Gate turf line. No, it won't. They're not representative of anything. 5.5 to, if you have the little handhelds, it'll take it 5.5 to 10. This one will take 5.5 to 9.5. There's no reason why we can't do 10 furlongs, so. Okay, now, this top line is a turf line. And total pace ratings will work from turf to dirt under the same theory, realizing that some horses might prefer one surface to another. But the same principle will apply. Now, I'm not sure right off the top of my head what the host three-year best time is for a mile and one-eighth. I have to look that up. Hollywood. Well, you have to know what the Hollywood is so you can calculate the Golden Gate. So you have to know the difference between them, right? I think it's 46 and 4. Yeah. Okay, 146 and 4. Now, this is the Hollywood Park 9 furlong dirt line because he's going to be running on the dirt today. We don't know what the pace three-year best time is, but we'll calculate it. Again, it's going to be a -2 because it's from Golden Gate Fields for track class. And he gets a +9 adjustment.
Big time.
Yeah. It's a much slower surface. Okay. Now here we've got the exact opposite problem because it's a turf line that he's not early enough. But in a situation like this, because it's the wrong surface and he's way in excess in final fraction, that pace line is acceptable. I chose to use the dirt line. Let's see, how many down was it? 3 down. Actually, the lines are fairly similar. Because I don't really pay that much attention to total pace. I mean, I'm not too precise if they're with
you
a point and a half or 2 points.
Here too?
Yeah. Just go ahead and use. I just used a -6 on the mile, because that's what it is for a mile and a 16th. And you can see it's within 3 points. 3 points is close enough for me. And you can also see that his balance is much better now. His balance is almost actually perfect for the minimum. So that's why I chose that line. So we've got one horse that's really excessive early, and a couple of horses that are almost dead even as far as early and late. Okay, let's go to Roystris. Okay, this horse is was racing at Fairplex Park. We might as well go ahead and put the pace line in so we can demonstrate another track to track, because this is a much slower surface than Hollywood Park. Generally, I would not, I wouldn't use this a win contender certainly, but we're just doing it for demonstration purposes, so that we'll see that we're not hiding anything. This is a real time saver, this little window that pops in there. No. All the advanced total pace programs that we've ever sold has, I believe. Yeah.
Maybe you haven't found it yet, but it's there.
We'll show you how to find all this stuff if you don't. It probably is there. Okay, the track class adjustment. This is Fairplex Park to Hollywood Park. It's on the same circuit, but actually Fairplex is two or three class levels inferior based on the horses that run there. So take your best shot. 2, 3, pick it out of a hat. 2.5, whatever you want. I think I used my 3 because I used +4 too. Okay, he's a pretty well-balanced horse. He's okay, but he's inferior to our other two balanced horses just on his early pace. So we'll just accept the pace line and go on to the next pig, Fapamoto. The reason I selected this race is because it's got a lot of track-to-track adjustments in it, so we can just keep showing over and over again that you can use these pace lines and come up with a reasonably good rating. One thing else that you can quickly use is that through all of this really extensive research, well over 100,000 pace lines and whatever that I've done, one of the things like Roystris, if you look at his top line, his speed rating was 82. And you'll find this, you can take it home and play with it and calculate them and really get good practice with it. But his Del Mar line, 1 mile line, is 83. This horse can run about an 82 or 83 at a mile or a mile and a 16. That's about as good as he can run. If that's good enough to win your race, then you're probably looking at the winner. And you'll see, you can use this to go down and calculate total pace ratings on their good races. If 82 is his good race, calculate a couple of them and see how close the total pace ratings make them. They should be very, very close together if your track-to-track adjustments are correct. Okay, this is Fapamoto. It's a -6. It would be a +2. Because it's a slightly slower surface. What Dick is questioning, did he do a +2 or -2? Santa Anita, 1.16, is a little bit slower than Hollywood Park. So even though this race, the second line back was a mile, I just used the 1.16. I have the conversion, but what the heck, that's close enough. Pretty good, actually he's got pretty good numbers. But he isn't a very good horse. That's what his problem is. He lost at 25,000, ran third. And one thing I've discovered with the Santa Anita Miles, and I don't have any reason for this, it's just a point, is total pace ratings tend to be about 4 points inflated. I don't know why. I've never been able to answer that. So be cautious if you're using on your circuit a different distance that consistently gives you a high or a low rating. When I do this personally, I just put in a -4 or take 4 points off. They just don't work well, and I don't have any reason for that. Try to stay at the exact same distance if possible. You just get a more accurate read. Okay. What I would do is I would accept that top line only, if I was to accept the line at all. The horse was not in any position in any part in the race. The race, again, was an 81 against Roystress, which is an 82. He's a non-contender. Fapamoto's a non-contender.
The third line down is using the minus four.
He's using a minus four, okay.
He's a minus two track to track instead of a plus two.
Okay.
So you can see about where he lives.
Where does this horse win, though? Look where he won his race. He won a non-winners of something or other at Turf Paradise. And he does have a good final fraction, as I recall. Yes, he does.
Yeah, if you're really puzzled by a horse like this, and we can sit and do it if you want, the thing to do is not... You have a poor line and a really good line. I mean, we're making a nine-point swing there in TPR, and that's a huge, huge swing. One of those races is out of whack, and the thing to do is to find out with that second back... A peak effort, not likely to be repeated, or is the top line an anomalous bad race that he's not likely to run to? And the way you do that is to do about four more lines on him, looking at those races from Turf Paradise, which will not come up, I can guarantee you that.
Yeah.
We're not going to take the time to sit and grind through all those Turf Paradise numbers, but the adjustment is a minus nine, so...
When you look down his Turf Paradise lines and his good lines, he ran a 94. If you take 9 points off of that, that's 85, and he's not running up to that. You know, he should be running about an 85 when he comes over to Southern California. And that's his peak effort. If you notice, his Turf Paradise mile in a 16th turf race, it was an 88. You take 9 off of that, that's a 79. And then he comes back and runs about an 81 at Hollywood Park Turf. That's where this horse is going to live. He's not a contender, even though he might have some decent numbers. He's a follower. Did we put him over? Oh, yes. All right. I just used the top line because it's good. He was close at every call, and today's class level, and that's just fine with me. Again, this horse does meet the pars both early and late. Now, there's a little bit something unique about this race. The horse that has the big early, where is he? Capote, right. Look how much of an early advantage he has. 6 or 7 lengths. Now, I don't think he's going to need that today, and I don't think he's even going to want to use that much today. So even though he's deficient, look at his final fraction. I mean, if you rate it by final fraction, he's down the bottom of the heap. All right, Fapamoto comes up, who's a non-contender for win. But on a final fraction basis, this horse is the pits. There's just no doubt about it. But he's only 1 point or 2.2 point, or what is that, 1.2 points below the absolute minimum with a 7 or 6.7. He also has a total pace advantage, which is quite large.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you on Fapamoto made what in this case turned out to be a mistake, but it's not always, you went back, all right, you can move him up. He'd have a 170, what was it, 177.
Right.
So he's a point and a half above Capote. We're going to bet two horses here, friends. And